What is going on, Northwest Arkansas? How are we doing on this beautiful day? Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Thank you for tuning in for another episode of So NWA, Northwest Arkansas's newest podcast, where we share the stories of those who shape and are shaped by the incredible community. It is your host, Juan Carlos, and as always, my brother and co-host here, Enrique.
What's Hello, going on? Good morning, man. How are we doing today, Juan Carlos?
Man, it's good. It's good. It really is a beautiful day here.
Dude, it is. Yeah. It's sunny. It's pretty windy today, though, but overall, it's a good day.
When you arrived here, I saw that I could hear the wind from inside.
Yeah, it was a bit much today, but overall, it's a nice day. A lot better than what we've been having the past week or so.
True. Next week is supposed to dip down in the digits again, but
I don't think it'll be bad though. I mean, I think it's still going to be a little bit warmer. So
Yeah. But folks, if you're listening for the first time and when Enrique and I are not recording for the podcast, we're local realtors here. We're out here helping our clients in their real estate needs. And if you ever need any assistance or have any questions, we'd love to help. Be sure to follow us and share on social media. We'd really appreciate it. Our Instagram is SoNWA Podcast, our Instagram handle. And on the SoNWA Podcast, you can find Enrique and I, our real estate profiles on there as well. But today, folks, we have a really special guest with us today. This is someone who I respect and care for and love real deeply. I've known him for a long time now. We both went to school together, and you know, he is another brother here. So I have two brothers here in this room right now with me. But we have a native, a native from Rogers, Arkansas. He is class of 09 from Rogers High School. After graduating, he joined the Marine Corps. He has deployed overseas. He has worked at the White House on a unit called MX-1, which is a team who is responsible for transporting the U.S. president. He moved back to Northwest Arkansas to become the Marine recruiter for the whole Northwest Arkansas area. Last year, in 2024, he was selected by the Rogers Public Education Foundation as an honoree for the Wall of Distinction. He is still presently serving in the Marines as an aviation operations chief. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Furman Sandoval here with us today. Brother, what is going on?
What is going on, man? I'm excited to be home.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we're excited to have you here, Furman. Thanks for taking time out of your day to sit down with us for an hour and talk about all good things about you, good things about Northwest Arkansas. So thanks.
Yeah, man. As you know, as Enrique said, Enrique and I say, it is always a pleasure and an honor to have our guests here and give us their time, whether it's a favor or just because they believe in this podcast. To me, that's I'm always grateful for. So thanks for being here, man. I know you took some time out to be here, so thank you. But how are you doing, Furman? What's going on?
I'm good. You know, something I always say, you know, anytime you're above ground, life is great. You can't complain, right? And it's true, right? Right? I think us as humans, it's so easy to complain in life, but the best thing about it is we're the ones able to control that, right? So you wake up and you face your challenges, move forward and attack the day and see what comes about it. So life is great.
Yeah. I've gotten into the habit of every morning when I wake up, I'm like, I'm awake. Like, I'm grateful that I'm waking up for the day. Right. Because unfortunately to say, right, some people, they don't. Right. And, not to make anyone feel bad, but it's part of life, unfortunately, you know, so I'm grateful every day that I'm able to wake up.
No, it is true. Yeah. No, I think, another day here with our family and friends and our loved ones is really important. And we get to really spend that time with them, because you just never know. Yeah. I think that's a really good perspective, man. Furman, you're in town for the weekend, correct?
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. What brings you into town?
So we came into town to celebrate my mother-in-law's birthday. So shout out to my mother-in-law, Dulce. She turned 60 today, actually.
Nice.
So happy birthday.
21.
Yeah, right. 21, 25, same difference. But no, happy birthday to her. And at the same time, my sister gave birth 2 days ago, 3 days ago, something like that.
Did it? Okay.
Yeah, she gave birth. So shout out to Lupe and my nephew, Rafael.
Nice. That's awesome.
And then we, you know, just visiting family, and you know, a cousin of mine had her baby a month ago,
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we came to visit her as well and see the baby.
That's a cool little check-in with the family. I think now for the audience as well, right? Now you don't live in this area no more. You live in...
And I live in San Diego, California.
Okay, cool, cool. That's your new, I would say, position or
duty station?
Duty station. Duty station, right. Cool, yes. Cool. So, yeah. So you came and check in on all family and everything. So that's awesome.
How long ago did you go back to or move to San Diego, I should say?
I moved out there in May of last year, so 2024.
Okay. So I've been there almost coming up on a year then.
Coming up on a year.
So how's life out there?
It's great. We love it. You know, I tell everybody that we're in a pretty centralized area where, you know, I'm 10 minutes from work, no traffic. And from, you know, from the beach, PB, Mission Beach, I'm roughly, you know, 15 minutes freeway, you know, so it's not terrible.
Not bad.
Coronado, 25 minutes, San Diego Airport, 20 minutes, you know, I love the area, super clean where I'm at least, and it's quiet, which is great.
That is good.
I like how you mentioned no traffic, because when I think of California or anywhere in California, I'm thinking bumper to bumper for an hour, 2 hours.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're going to have that, right? It's a huge city. But, you know, and there's peak hours where we drive, and I try to avoid that time, whether we leave early or poor management of my time. We're like, okay, well, this is what I get for leaving at this time. So you have to pick and choose when you want to go somewhere. But yeah, you're not wrong, because on the way, when I leave work, which is, you know, anytime roughly from 4:30 to 5:30, I'm hitting traffic. But even then, it's a 20-minute drive home. And you can't beat that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got the traffic up here in Northwest Arkansas. That's just, it's just different too.
I feel like it's getting a little bit more congested now because we got a lot of people moving over here. Yeah. So traffic's definitely picked up. I think they said that our infrastructure in terms of roads is behind by like 10 to 15 years. Mm-hmm. So that would explain the traffic that we're getting.
Mm-hmm.
But again, to Furman's point, it's not like we're sitting in traffic for like 2 hours straight, right?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. At least it's a little bit bearable, no?
Yeah, that's, it's true. Yeah. We're not at the 2 hour mark. We're at the, 30 minute mark, maybe?
I'd say so.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So
we're a little behind, but yeah, no, it's great. Yeah.
That's good.
I can see what you mean by that statement though.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, I love the growth we're seeing, but you know, we've been here for many years and we were used to the little traffic, and now that it's kind of changing, it's like, mm-hmm. I don't like it no more. What can you do? It's part of life, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Something that we do with our guests is always ask these, at least in the beginning, is to ask these open-ended questions to really just get a familiarity with each other and in the audience too. Just kind of random, really. I just Google icebreaker questions and generator, and this is what comes up. And if I, you know, I'm digging a question, I'll go ahead and ask it just to have some fun with it. But one of the questions we had here was, are you an oceans or a mountain guy?
Both. Both, because, you know, I actually see that in California, right? You know, with me being, you know, relatively close to the beach, I can sit there and just lose my train of thought, right, when I'm running out there. But then there's also canyons right behind me. And, you know, not that I go there because I don't, but I can see the world essentially, you know, and at that point, the way I see it is, you know, you against the world.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. So and to answer your question, it's both.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good answer. Okay.
I'd say that's fair.
We'll give you the path. I'll say you have to choose one, but Rika, how about you?
I'd probably pick the beach just because of the ocean, right? Because some part of my childhood was in Miami, right? And so I always think very fondly of the beach.
Oh, okay.
And so that's why I would pick if I had to.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And you, okay. Juan Carlos, what are you doing?
Man, I think I'm going to go with, I might go just against the current, and I might say mountains. So I'll say this, open water, like the ocean, scares me. If I can't touch the bottom of it, well, I guess you can do that you can't do that with a lake either. But I don't know, something about ocean water just scares the crap out of me. So I'll take a mountain, and I hope that there's a crystal clear lake in the mountain, and I'll take that too.
Okay, there you go.
That's not cold.
Yeah.
Which is probably cold most of the time, but if it was a nice lake that's warm in the mountain, I'll take that.
We got to find you like a hot springs then. This kind of seems like what you're looking for.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hot springs, Arkansas.
There you go.
That's funny.
Perfect.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, yeah. The second question that we have here is, do you have a bucket list?
Do I have a bucket list?
Yeah, bucket list. I'm gonna go with Enrique, and then we'll confirm after that.
Well, I guess one thing that is a non-negotiable for my life, right? I have to go out of the country, and if I have to go somewhere, I would really, really like to go and visit the country of Japan.
Oh, that'd be
that great. For me is a location where I would at least one time in my life I would love to go and see. I don't know if Furman, if you agree, disagree, if you have a country that you like to visit or something different, similar.
I lived in Japan for a year.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. How was that experience?
I loved it. So I lived in Okinawa, Japan, which is a small island south of mainland Japan, right? So when everybody thinks of Japan, they think of Tokyo, right? The mainland, right, of it.
Right.
I don't know how many miles it is south of it, but it's a small little island. Mm-hmm. And I loved Okinawa, Japan. The culture out there, the people, the cleanliness, everything. Everything. The views, can't beat it.
Man, that's awesome. That's pretty cool that you live out there.
Yeah, that is.
And I have been to mainland Japan. We went to Tokyo, Kyoto, Japan. And Kyoto, when I went there with some of my friends, it's a huge city, right? And unlike the States, where here in the States, you go to New York, it's a big city. It's very noisy, right? People honking left and right, you know, et cetera. When you go to Japan, big city, quiet.
Really?
Quiet. You're like, and you forget that you're in a major city.
That's kind of surprising to hear, especially from a major city like Tokyo or Kyoto. I mean, that's kind of surprising.
I'm very curious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very curious.
To
experience that. Yeah. Oof, that's cool. That is cool.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go there. So hearing from first-hand experience here, that's I'm excited now.
What's the flight time?
I think it's roughly 12, 14 hours.
One way, right?
Or correct. One way.
Oh, dang, that's
a lot. I mean, we had a connection. Oh. Well, I flew out of Seattle straight to Japan.
Okay.
So, I mean, still, 12 hours.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Did you walk on the plane or you just sat the whole time?
Like, I think I sat for the most part.
Maybe going to the bathroom or something.
Yeah,
I sat for the most part. There's some people that will walk up and down the plane, obviously to stretch or to get some movement in, but I'm curious. Yeah. The longest flight was when we went to Spain, and it was 10 hours from Dallas to Spain. Well, luckily, we timed it in a way that we slept most of the time. So I had been up since 7 a.m. that day, and I did my hardest to stay up as much as I could on the flight so I can pass out for the rest of the flight. Basically, I stayed up until about 1 a.m. and I still had 6-7 hours of the flight left, and I knocked out for the rest of the flight. So I thought that was a win. So I'd probably do something like that. And
smart.
Good idea. Good thinking.
Yeah. So, but cool. That's exciting. Yeah. Bucket list, traveling and things like that. As we talk about travel and location, Furman, I forget if you're originally from Northwest Arkansas, if you were born here, but if you're not from this area, if you how did you discover or move to Northwest Arkansas?
I was a kid.
Okay.
I was told to move here with my parents. I was born in LA in the down east surrounding areas. And, my parents are like, hey, we're moving to Arkansas. I was 4 or 5 years old, so I don't think I had a say in that.
Hey, we're moving to Arkansas. Can we get your approval?
Exactly. And ever since then, we moved to Arkansas, Rogers, I think 95.
I think that's
around there.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. I'm just remembering, I think that was the time I also moved here too. I was 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old.
The same time as Furman. Around the same time then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just curious, because you're not living here now, right? You're living out in San Diego, and based from 1995, from when you were 4 or 5 years old to where it is now, in your opinion, how much different is it? Is it a good change that we're seeing? Do you like it? What are your thoughts on the change that we're seeing in the area based on from when you first got here to where we're sitting now?
Monumental. There's so many big things that has happened here since I left, and the one thing I love about it is I always learn something new about Northwest Arkansas every time I come back. And you can't beat that, right? For example, I saw the Greenway at some point that I've never seen before. Mm. And I'm a runner, so I love to see, these new places where we can be active, right? But no, yeah, every time I come back, I always see something new. For example, I mean, since 95, right?
Oh, yeah, you got, I remember that.
I was here when New Hope was Tooling Road and Promenade Mall was off farmland, right? So I've seen a whole lot of changes and I'm looking to see what else is coming.
That's awesome.
You know what? Yesterday, we had John Rex Spivey on as a, on the podcast as a guest. And one of the things he reminded me of was, remember St. Mary's Hospital?
Yeah.
Well, now it's, I don't know. I think it's like a nonprofit building or something like that. But I forgot about that. Yeah. I was like, oh, because that's where he said he was born at. And well, now we have Mercy, right? I completely forgot that that was a hospital back in the day.
Yeah. It's another change.
Yeah. Yeah. Another change. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So you mentioned you moved here from LA, right? LA?
Correct.
You were 4 years old. Where were your parents from? Were they originally from California, or if you mind me asking from?
No, great question. So my dad was from El Salvador.
Okay.
And my mom was born in Honduras.
Oh, your mom's from Honduras.
Yeah.
From Honduras. Really? I'm Honduran also.
Nice.
What part of Honduras is your mother from?
Tela.
Tela?
Tela.
Okay.
It's a northwestern coast of Honduras.
Okay. Very cool. My, my family's from this little pueblo. It borders Guatemala. You could like walk through a trail and you'll be in an unsecured spot of Guatemala.
Nice.
So it's a little pueblo called Cuyamel in Omoa Cortez.
Okay. That's never heard of it.
Yeah. It's a super small town. It's like a little pueblo. Not many people are from there. Well, that's cool, man, that you're from Honduras. I had no idea.
Have you been?
The last time I went, I was 12 or 13. So about 11 years ago, I should say, at this point.
It's about time to visit, maybe.
Well, if I go back, it's because a lot of my family's not even there anymore. Right?
Oh, I see.
So if I go back, I'm probably going to go to more of like a quote-unquote tourist section, like Roatan. Mm-hmm. I'd probably want to go and visit Roatan.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems really amazing there. So that's probably where I would go if I go back to Honduras.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not Cuyamel. I'm sorry. But it's...
Yeah, I get you.
Well, that's good to know. Got a Honduran brother right here.
Yeah, a Honduran brother. Yeah. Add him to the list.
Awesome. Very cool. So Furman, Juan Carlos here, he mentioned, you know, you have a military background. And please, you know, feel free to tell us about your military career, what you did, how did you initially get even introduced to your military career? We are curious to know what your involvement is and how things started for you.
For sure. So recruiters, man, they're good at what they do or what they do. And so in high school, I was this chaotic kid that was lost and trying to figure out what I wanted in life. And I knew that God had something big for me. I don't know what it was, right? Another part of it was that I believed in myself, right? No matter, you know, how much of a problem child I was, or, you know, what I did, or just coming off disrespectful, so on and so forth. I was a kid, right? I didn't know any better, right? I thought I was on top of the world as a 16, 17, 18 year old, right? And so once I saw the Marine Corps recruiters come in the school, you know, they're giving their class talks, so on and so forth. I just fell in love with the uniform, right? And how they spoke, how they stood, their appearance, everything about it, right? And I told myself, you know, like, I think that's what it is. I think that's what I need in my life to move forward, make me the man that I'm trying to become, right? And so, you know, I went and spoke to them. We spoke for a little bit. I got in some trouble, unfortunately. And it took me, I think, 2.5 years to enlist finally. So, you know, I got out of what I got into and I moved forward with my life. And here I am now, fast forward 13 years later, and here I am.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You go, it's funny how one little thing in your life early on can change where you're headed, right?
Yeah.
So shout out to that recruiter that you talked to.
Do you still know him, or?
I do. Yeah. Okay. Because I was on recruiting duty out here in Northwest Arkansas, and I reached out to him before I came out here, and I reached out to him when I was out here, and I was like, dude, like, what in the world were you going through? Like, were you going through the same thing I'm going through? It's like, dude, it's a grind. It is a hustle. It is a hustle. Recruiting is like being, a real estate agent, right? You're grinding, you're looking for people, so on and so forth. It does not stop. It does not stop.
Yeah.
There you go.
Gee,
for any aspiring recruiters out there, what advice would you give them? What can they expect if they are planning on going in the same path that you did?
Be ready. The Marine Corps, we are the best fighting organization out there. You know, being part of the best, we come to fight, right? With whatever is in front of us, right? And we come out here ready to attack and from any angle, right? And you have to be creative from what you do. whether it's, you know, writing it from ink to paper, or whether it's coming from your mind and seeing how you can be creative with things. Just go out there and be mentally ready and have a strong mindset.
There you go.
Willpower.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Man, that's good. That's really good.
I like it. Yeah. I really like it. Very cool, man. Well, Juan Carlos, how do you feel about the advice he just gave about recruiting? Do you think it applies for me and you in our real estate career?
You know, I think it does. I think in the aspect of recruiting, and what I take from that is more of prospecting, right? Kind of simulate the two. You're always looking for, in his case, recruiting, you know, new Marines in. For us, we're recruiting our new client, I guess you can say. We're trying to tell them why they should work with us, why they should, you know, trust us and so forth. So I think they do have similarities. And I'm sure in the Marines, man, it's, you got to make it. There's no choice, right? In real estate, I guess if you don't make it, you just don't eat, you know? So
yeah, pretty much.
You don't get paid. But yeah, and I also think it's a relationship thing too. I think that, and Furman, you can add to this. If I'm sure you've recruited a bunch of people, you know, when you were here, and maybe you still talk to them, and maybe they say, man, just like you had that experience with a recruiter back in high school, maybe these kids have that experience with you, saying, man, it's because of Furman. He saw something in me and he reached out to me and he kept chasing me, that now I'm a Marine, and that's changed their life. So I think you also leave that imprint. And again, maybe also on the real estate side, the same thing. We, you know, we've had, hey, thank you for helping us buying this home. Mm-hmm. Now I can have it for my family. So there's those similarities, you know, in its own way. I think.
It's so another part of it is yourself. Mm-hmm. You're kind of selling yourself to the individual, right? Because you're representing them, mm-hmm. right? Because if you don't give a good impression to the people you're trying to sell, your clients you're trying to sell, then why would they want to work with you? Same with me in recruiting, right? If I don't look good in uniform, or if I didn't stand tall and be confident with who I'm talking to, or when I'm speaking to a class of, you know, 100 kids, 100 students, right? And the teachers are up top observing me or watching everything or and hearing everything I'm saying, everybody can see that, you know, and they can call you out on it in any way, shape, or form. But you just have to be confident in your abilities to do what it is that you were tasked out to do, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's challenging. It's great. And I think that's just the type of person I've become, is face your challenges, face your fears. You win some, you lose some. Mm-hmm. Learn from it, move forward.
I love it.
Yeah.
Good advice.
That's great, man.
Are high schools typically where you normally will host an event for recruitments, or where do you normally like to go and do these types of recruitments?
Anywhere and everywhere.
I like it.
You know, because, I mean, if you don't go out there and do it, you're never going to know, right? So obviously with schools, ask permission, so on and so forth, right?
Right.
Or, you know, any sort of social event, right? You obviously get to know the people there. And until somebody tells you no, then walk away, right? But if you don't try, you're never gonna know, right? Yeah. If you never put yourself in that position, you're never gonna know. And you can at least say you tried.
Yeah, I saw online somewhere it said, if you knew how many failures you were away from your goal, how fast would you want to fail?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and dude, that spoke to me so good, because mm-hmm. it applies so well to your everyday life, with our career, with your personal relationships. And I never forgot that. And I remind myself of that quote every day, because mm-hmm. I think it applies so well. Mm-hmm. And it's very true. It speaks a lot of truth, I feel. So to your point, it really, really, you got to keep going, 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 because you're never going to know if you don't.
Very true. Wow. I had not heard that before. And I think you understand, like we understand that, but to hear it again, to hear the quote is powerful too.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I love it. I remind myself
of bring these good ones, Enrique. Yeah. As I edit these episodes, you know, in our downtime, I'm like, man, Enrique has some really good, got a good wisdom.
Nah.
Oh yeah.
Nah. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You do. Furman, and this is, you know, for maybe a little bit more for me, but I also think for the audience, even though I've known you for quite some time, I remember when you had that opportunity to work at the White House with this unit That was probably one of the proudest moments that I had as you know, one of your friends. And I remember when you called and said that this is what you were essentially applying to, you know, to work with them. And it's a process where you get selected. And I remember, man, I was just to even hear those words saying, I want to do this and I'm going to apply for this. I, you know, again, the support from me to you was 100%. I thought it was amazing, you know. So just to kind of get a refresher, what was that like? What did you exactly kind of, what a day look like? Because I think maybe many people in the audience probably don't even know what that is, you know. Mm-hmm.
So it's one of the things that isn't really spoken about, not because it's top secret or anything like that, right? It's just a very unique job. Just like there's anywhere in this world, there's very unique jobs that you wouldn't think that's a job. Mm-hmm. Right? You just don't know what's out there. Mm-hmm. So I was my first command in San Diego. You know, I was a junior enlisted Marine. You know, I've been in for 3 years at that point. I've always had this mentality of, you know, sink or swim. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know the job, you better figure it out. And one of my supervisors at that point, he worked at HMX-1, Marine Helicopter Squadron 1. He worked there and he's like, hey man, you know, I see a lot of potential in you, man. You need to go re-enlist and let's see if we can get you orders to HMX-1. And so I kept on, you know, I was fighting with him. I was like, you know what, man, I, Marine Corps is great, but I want to move forward with my life and go to school, right? Because that was my initial goal. My initial plan with the Marine Corps was do my 4 years, get out and go to school. God had other plans for me. And so I gave in and I got orders to HMX-1. I moved from San Diego to Quantico in February of 2016. Mm-hmm. I didn't get that position till probably January of 2017. So I was in that position for roughly 2 years, mm-hmm. close to 3 years. And honestly, like that's just something that just, man, really expanded my mind on the opportunities that we have, but only if you're willing to get yourself in an uncomfortable position, because that's how we grow. Mm-hmm. And if you don't do that, you're gonna be like, oh yeah, it was fun, it was cool, but there's always better than cool.
Yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying? True. But you have to put yourself out there.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right? So moving forward, you know, I was on the job training. It was so essentially what that job was, it was a WLO, right, for short. So White House Liaison Office. And I was the lowest ranking in that office as a sergeant. And big picture, we were the ones that we were the advance team for the presidential helicopters, right? Mm-hmm. And anytime at that moment, it was President Trump in the 45th term. And if you know, the president was going out, you know, we would go out there 2 or 3 weeks in advance, mm-hmm. do all the logistics, right? Have meetings left and right, so on and so forth. So by the time the president got inbound, everything was set. Like, this is the plan. We're moving forward, mm-hmm. right? So that's what it was. On top of that, I had, you know, access to the White House. Any given point, I can go there. No questions asked. Right. Which is pretty cool. I got to travel all the time. Right. So I went to 5 different countries under that administration. I went to Saudi Arabia, was my first country that I went to. And I was scared. I was not scared, but I was nervous. Right. It's like, dude, different country. Don't know the language. You know, they dress differently. It's just different culture. Right.
Yeah.
Something that I'm not used to. So, you know, went to Saudi Arabia, which is unbelievable. So I went there. I went to Buenos Aires, Argentina. I went to Paris, France.
Oh, that sounds cool. I love Paris.
I went to, where else I go? I can't remember. Oh, Normandy. I went to Normandy.
Oh, very cool.
Right? For D-Day.
No way.
The 75th anniversary, I believe is what it was. And I'm missing one. I'm missing a country. Bogota, Colombia.
Colombia.
So, you know, going out there and, you know, we're working for the president, right? So it's not just, you know, so we're dressing the part, so on and so forth, you know, talking to Secret Service. So that was pretty cool. But I enjoyed, I loved, and meeting people in that scale. But I think if anything, I love going to the White House and just walking in its footsteps. and meeting the people that work under his administration and just creating that bond, right? Those communications, that networking. And at the end of the day, like just seeing the president, the vice president, his family, that's something you don't see on the daily basis, right? Especially from a kid from Northwest Arkansas, where, you know, I was a kid that was not structured, right? Mm-hmm. And thinking that I was untouchable, you know, at 17 years old and, you know, giving everybody problem, then to a kid that is standing next to the president of the United States, you know, and on top of that, I don't even have a degree, right? So me as a kid, I was thinking, oh, I work at the White House, you have to have a degree. Right.
Yeah.
But I can see that. I just worked so hard and I ended there. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's just something I won't ever forget. And that, you know, that just shows who I am and what I'm about and what I'm willing to do to get the job done. Because at the end of the day, that's really what it is. Right. Mm-hmm. You go to sleep, you rest your head on the pillow and you ask yourself, did I do enough today? Right. Did I do enough today? If I didn't, why didn't I? Mm-hmm. I get it. We're all human. We all get lazy here and there, right? Mm-hmm. It happens to me. But yeah, when I went there, that was something that I'll never forget. Yeah, something I'll never forget.
You know, I know who does think that they did enough today. Kina.
I miss my dog.
Oh, man. Yeah, for the audience here, Kina is Furman's dog, and she is she's so cool.
What kind of dog is she?
She's a black lab.
Black lab.
Yeah, okay. She turns 11 this year, so
she's
on the other side. But she's my everything. I love that dog.
Yeah. Hey, just as long as she's lively every day, still willing to play, you're all right, man.
Yeah.
Because I have a dog. She's I think she turned 9 this Valentine's Day,
mm-hmm.
and I've had her since I was a sophomore in high school, and she's starting to turn gray in the face a little bit. But she still likes to play and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you said, she's a little older. So I try and take advantage of the time she does want to play and hang out. So,
yeah, but no, man, for a minute, you know, you have definitely left an impression on my life. And even though we, you know, we stay in communication, that's definitely something that, you know, Maritz and I talk about from time to time. And every time when you're in town or for something that you need, you know, I would say, yeah, we went to school together and we were real, I think we're close and all, but just the impression that you leave on me as an individual, as a man and everything is definitely something that I look up to. You know, I know the way I always think about it is, we're here to support each other. We're here to uplift each other. And it's, it is nice, man. So like I said, man, much love and respect and honor to have you here, but also for your story, man, that, being in this position with the podcast, I knew that I wanted to have you here. We were one of the first people that I had thought when I was like, man, if I could tell a story from this area, Furman's story is one of those stories, you know. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm excited, even though this won't release for you know a few weeks, right? But still, when it does release, I'd be really really excited.
So, yeah. No, thanks. Yeah, it's I'll never forget that, and the crazy thing to think about it is I was thinking that I was going to get out.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then just on the other side was, hey, wait a minute, pause, do another 4 years, see where that takes you. I jumped the fence. Right.
Mm.
And boom, it's like, dude, who would have thought this kid from Northwest Arkansas was just, you know, gonna be at the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I would just ground myself when I was there. I'm like, dude, this is awesome. This, you know, is, and being that close to the president, I got pictures right, left and right. Or even being on the South Lawn whenever Marine One would be coming in, right? Mm-hmm. I was really close with the pilots, especially the Marine One pilots. They would be like, hey, Sandoval, Sergeant Sandoval, can you escort my family? You know, I'm flying him today. Can you be there? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. And the one thing that I would complain about was the traffic. DC traffic is horrible. It would take me probably an hour to drive 30 miles.
Oh,
wow. Right. It was pretty bad. So I think that was it. But once I got there, I'm like, okay, this is worth it.
This is cool.
Every step of the way. Not only that, but seeing their families and the kids be like, that's my father, or you know, it's my wife. I'm like, that to me, that's unbeatable.
I love it, dude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this is the first time we're meeting, right, Furman? Mm-hmm. But even before we sat down today, when Carlos here, like he was talking about earlier, he always had many great things to say about you. And I can see why, right? You radiate this presence of confidence, of hardworking. And for me, being younger than both of you guys, that's pretty inspiring for me, right? Mm-hmm. I'm 24. And so seeing you and where your life experience is taking you based off of your mentality or your hard work, I can appreciate that. And it really does help me a lot. So thank you, Furman, for willing to sit down with us and share your story. Mm-hmm. And so again, you mentioned you're from here originally. You moved here from California. Do you have any special memories from Northwest Arkansas? Right, you don't live here anymore, but is there anything you look back fondly of during your time here in the area?
Man, just everything we did as kids. The ice storm. The day we graduated high school. Man, there's so much to say. I don't even know what to say, to be honest with you.
That's funny. Yeah. As a reference, for the audience, if they may not know, back in 2009, there was a huge ice. Well, you could look it up. It was bad. I mean, it was like, almost was like 6 inches to a foot of like thick ice, solid ice throughout the town, trees split open, power lines. I mean, it was a really, really bad ice storm. It's something you would see from like, what's that movie? The Day After Tomorrow or something, something like that. And I remember we were seniors, Furman and I, in high school, right? And we were off, man, I want to say 2 weeks, but we were laughing and we were like, who cares? Because we were seniors and we already had passed. So we were like, man, let it be 3 weeks. But we were laughing because everyone else, juniors and below, had to make up those days. But we didn't because we already had passed our tests and all that stuff. So we were just laughing. We're like, dude, this is the best gift for a senior getaway or whatever. But I do remember that, man. We just Call of Duty, man. Yeah,
that's funny. Yeah, it's that ice storm, man. I looked it up right now. It said that we got 1 to 2 inches of just solid ice.
Oh, I'm terrible. I'm a foot. foot of solid ice. Man, the price to be, yeah, there you go.
No, but the strong ice was enough to weigh down the power lines and break trees for them to fall on houses. And it really did cause a big problem. There's pictures here of the power lines literally hanging a couple inches off of the road.
Foot of ice, that's like Antarctica, just hitting people.
No, but that's probably, it's funny that you said that. That's probably how you remember it, right? Back from way back then.
Yeah, it's true. I guess, some from that movie, right?
Yeah, because I remember it had snowed one time here. I think it was maybe like 2011 or something. And I remember the snow being like all the way up to my hips or like right above my knees. But if I look back at pictures, dude, it was barely halfway on my calf. Oh. So I think it's just the way that you remember as a kid, right? Yeah. I think it's a little bit different.
I have another early memory that I can think of is in 2000. Was when my family and I, we moved from an apartment to a house in our neighborhood called Little Mexico, right? And I'll never forget that day because I had my own room, I'm one out of five, mm-hmm. right? The only boy in the family, only male in the family, as far as siblings go. And, the moment that, my parents bought a house, it's like, dude, this is awesome. Right, I get my own room. My sisters, they got to share the room, and just having a bigger space to ourselves, a little bit of land. That's just something I'll never forget. And to this day, my mom still lives there. So every time I go back, it just takes me back of getting raised, my parents, the memories that I have with my sisters. But
man, the equity in that house is real high.
I sure hope so. Yeah, I sure hope so. But that neighborhood itself, I plan on running around there tomorrow. Yeah. And I love coming back because when I go running and anytime I run anywhere, it lets me get to know the actual area. Because mm-hmm. when we drive, it's very easy to drive by. Oh, that was cool. But when you run, you have more time, present time.
Yeah.
In that area. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Have you been an avid runner for a long time now?
I've been running, let's go with like 6 years or so, 6-7 years.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. A couple injuries here and there, but that's part of life. Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing major. I see, I assume, right, in terms of the injuries?
No, you know, a couple ankle sprains, knee injuries. But yeah, it's that's part of it. You know, anytime you want to take a risk or anytime you go do something active, you're taking a risk of getting injured. And sometimes it's sometimes it's preventable, sometimes it's not. Right. But yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Very cool. 6 years straight running. That's very good. Very good.
Yeah.
I tried to pick it up here and there, but I always I think it's just my mentality. I got to get over it, right? Because I'm like running. Well, I'm tired. But it's part of running, right? You're going to get tired, obviously. It's part of running.
You know, we live in such an area where, you know, Furman was saying, I didn't think about it like that. The greenways, because I'm like, oh, greenways, bikes only. You know, I never really thought of it. But we really do have those really, they can also be used for running.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very nice. I enjoy them on my bike. I can only imagine how much different it is to be running on it, because you get to see more and flying by. Yeah. So yeah, that's a good point.
A couple years ago when I was out here recruiting, so I think 2021, I was prepping for the Marine Corps Marathon, and I ran from here to Springdale, which was 20 miles on the greenway the whole way. Yeah, and a goal of mine is to run from square to square. And I will do it. It's just a matter of when, because obviously I don't live here. So I have to plan it out and stuff like that. Pick the right time. Definitely don't do it during the summer, right? But you know, like now or sometime in the fall.
We can just do it right after if you want. After the podcast.
I'm down. I brought my shoes and everything, man.
I'll be on my bike.
That's funny.
So, you know, you talked about some of your earliest and best memories of Northwest Arkansas. And I think this question ties into it as well. How has this community shaped you, if that makes sense? What do you enjoy most about this area? But how has this area shaped you as a person?
Man, Southern hospitality.
There you go.
You don't get that in San Diego. You truly don't. And I mean, I'm a nice guy in general, right? Very genuine dude. And I just wish that everybody was like this anywhere you go, right? I get it. We get frustrated, right? Life happens. Road rage. I get it. But I just wish life was like more like that all over the world, right? And I'm sure it is, right? Mm-hmm. But I think if anything, I think it's just the Southern hospitality. And you know, it's like the small things, right? Opening the door for somebody, if you're entering the same time when you're going to the store, for example, right? Or, you know, in general, when I'm running, hey, good morning, when I pass by somebody, because you don't get that all the time. And sometimes I'll run back. I'm like, did you not hear me? I said, good morning. I don't do that. But, you know, and it's good to hear it back. Not that anybody owes me something in return, but it's always good to hear it.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's pretty common here. Like, yesterday, right, I was walking with my fiance, like Atlanta, who just walked around. It was kind of late already. It was almost in the evening. And we were just walking by, and you can look at someone, you're like, oh, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah.
Simple as that. You just go about your day. On my way here, I saw this elderly guy. He was stopped at a stop sign, and I was turning on the road. I just waved at him, and he waved right back at me. I mean,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it's that simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even to, you know, our Latinos when they're working, right? Because also, you know, some of them do like landscape or something like that. When I'm running, I'm like, hey, buenos dias, ¿cómo estamos?
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, what's up? Hey, yeah, we're talking. Yeah. Like, yo, what's going on, guys? Like, hey,
literally.
You know, tenemos que luchar, you know? So,
yeah.
I love doing that. I love doing
it. It is such a common theme to hear that about the community. And, and when we go to other places in the States, we don't seem to find that a lot. And it's something that it's really, that I'm really grateful for this area. You know, even as big as we've gotten so far, we still do those things. And that's something that I find very special, still opening the door, saying hi to people, walking at Lake Atlanta or something. And, you know, someone acknowledges you back. And I think something I always tell, when I meet someone at a restaurant, I'll always say it's great to see that we've gotten so big. But also the people who have moved here from other parts of the country, they pick up on that we do that. That, you know, you can say locals or people that have been here for a while, that they start doing it. And I think they've continued that hospitality, if you will. And that is the part that makes me happy, because it's been 10 years or so. I feel like that big change has happened since since we've graduated. And we still have that. So, I mean, it's, we'll see what the next 5 to 10 years look like, but it's our job to continue that. As we were talking with John yesterday, these, he calls them, he says he got it from his dad, calls them these Ozark values. And I was like, dude, that's clean. I've not heard that. And I really, you know, we talked about it on the podcast, and I was like, yeah, it's up to us, the newer generation, to continue these Ozark values and teach the younger generation to say, hey, this is how you do things, or, you know, things like that. So very neat, very neat.
I don't feel like they're going to go anywhere. I mean, in my opinion, yeah. I mean, I still experience it on a day-to-day basis, right? When I'm out showing houses, or I'm out at the grocery store, or I'm walking trail, I still experience it. And I've experienced it my whole life living here, at least since 2009. Mm-hmm. I don't imagine it going anywhere. I hope it doesn't go anywhere, fingers crossed. Yeah. But up to your point, it's up to us, right, to keep showing that and instilling that within our family. And when we have children, instilling that in our own children, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. And I think about, even if it doesn't go away, what's something that we can add to it to make it better, right?
I like it.
If yeah.
That's good.
So
I'm curious, Furman, earlier you mentioned that you were at the White House, right? You're a kid from Northwest Arkansas. So I want to know what our area is in terms of comparing it to where you are currently living. What's the difference, right? Like, what makes it so different? Like, what can present many opportunities in this area compared to maybe somewhere like San Diego or anywhere else in the country for that matter?
I think that Northwest Arkansas brings a community together from what I've seen from other places that I've lived. Very family oriented. You know, there's so many parks here. We got the Greenway, right? We got the Promenade Mall. We got a lot of bars, right, to bring friends together.
Parks,
dog parks, right? You name it. There's so many things in this community that just brings us together. We just actually have to go out there and do it, right? And I think that's what I see, and what's different from other areas that I lived. It's just, very family oriented, and it brings people together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to add, you know, when I was younger, I used to think family meant like your kids, right? Like you and your partner or spouse and your kids, you know, family, right? Now, as I've gotten older, my perspective has changed, and I think of my family as just, you know, Maritza and I, me and my wife, right? Like, it can just be you and your partner, and that's still a family. And this area offers everything for this family, and, you know, I want to say too, for singles too, right? It's like both worlds, but it really does a really good job of, like you were mentioning, restaurants, bars, art and cultures, like the Crystal Bridges Museum, the Greenways. If someone was looking to get into recreational activities, it's not just the gym. You got the you can go to the lake and do floating. You can go on a bike trail. You can go on a run. But then also, if you were into school, you know, we have the School of Medicine that Alice Walton is building in the next few years, U of A. So it's like a little bit of everything for almost wherever you're at in life, you know, single or with a partner or family or with kids, things like that, older folk as well. So I think that's what's really unique about this area. So is there anyone that you want to give a shout out to, you know, from your family, to your friends, to anyone in your unit, something that just to highlight them, you know? And it's funny, Enrique, when we do this, when we ask this question, we do want to say, you know, if we forget somebody or if we don't mention somebody, that's not a bad thing. Cause you know, they're, you know, who can name the 50 million, you know, people that, you know, it's always just more of a, sometimes there is those one or two people that really stick out or come first to mind, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know,
to
do that. But again, going back to that, if there's a shout out to a business or to someone who's left an impression on you, things like that, that we always like to ask, you know, our guests if they do.
Yeah, for sure. Everybody. So to begin with you, right, and Enrique, because I mean, doing a podcast is not easy, right? We all have dreams, and we truly wanted to leave an impression or leave a legacy. You have to continue with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you're still going, right, and getting all these great people in your podcast, that's one huge thing that you're doing, right? So kudos for you guys. Shout out to my wife, right, for being great. Shout out to my family, my mother-in-law, again, it's her 60th birthday today. To my sister, you know, my newest nephew, 2 days old, 3 days old, mm-hmm. you know, welcome to this world. All my family, my sisters, my nieces and nephews. And yeah, like you said, there's so many people.
Yeah. Right. It's so hard to name everyone that's left an impact in your life, even if it's from many years ago, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Mm-hmm. But just highlighting the people who you can think of, I think is such a value, you know what I mean? Let them know how you feel about them.
Yeah.
I think it's super important because I don't know if you guys can agree with me, but I feel like sometimes in the Hispanic culture, sharing your feelings can be a little bit like touch and go, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's not that common per se.
Correct.
I don't know if that's your guys' experience, but I know sometimes with some members of my family, they're that way. Like my grandfather, for example, he's a very stern guy. He won't really give you a hug. He'll just shake your hand. So being able to highlight and give that feeling of value and appreciation to your family, I think is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, shout out to, you know, the Spiveys, John Rex.
Yeah.
Right. Many people out there.
Yeah. Everybody. Yeah.
So if I didn't say your name, shout out to you.
Shout out to every single person in this world.
My dog, Kina.
That's funny. Yeah. So on this podcast, Furman, you know, we like to talk about our guests and we like to talk about Northwest Arkansas. We always love to highlight our area, even if it's just for a few minutes. So you're from here originally, from Rogers. So I'm curious to know if you have a friend, they're going to come to Northwest Arkansas for the first time, or you have family that hasn't been here before. What do you like to tell them about the area? What's the expectation you give them for NWA when they come here for the first time?
Yeah. So, I tell everybody I'm from Arkansas, you know, wherever I'm stationed, right? From the commanding officer to all the Marines that work with me. And they're like, Arkansas, where's Arkansas? Like Hispanics live in Arkansas? I'm like, you have no idea, right? But to make it clear, Northwest Arkansas, right?
Yeah, that's funny.
You know, everybody thinks of farmland, so on and so forth. I'm like, hey, you know, Northwest Arkansas. And I always begin with Walmart, right? Walmart has helped out this community left and right, top to bottom.
Yeah,
so I told I brag about Arkansas all the time. I even got a tattoo of Arkansas on me because it means so much to me, right? But I always talk about the Greenway, right? I'm an active dude, right? And I think the Greenway I'm pretty impressed by it. The fact that it goes from Fayetteville to Bella Vista. I'm sure I'll go farther than that at one point. But it's, you know, just like I mentioned before, it's family oriented. There's so much to do. We got the U of A, the Hogs. We can watch basketball right down the road. And I think everything just unites us and unites the community together and move forward with that. So, but man, I talk so good about Arkansas, and I go on and on about it to a point where people will be like, okay, I get it, you're from Arkansas.
But I feel like that speaks to what our area does for the people living here. You know, people who are from here, it just goes to show how valuable and important it is being in a community that we are privileged to be a part of. Yeah. It goes a long way.
I think so. I think a lot of people who come visit the area and see how we're living is something that they want, you know, or they desire. And they, you know, that's why a lot of people move here, and it's probably especially now more than ever. But, it's you know, this whole idea, this podcast where I was like, man, what it used to be 20 years ago, we used to go to Walmart at midnight and just, you know, and just hang out there. Cause that's all there was back here, back in the day. Everything was farmland and pasture land. And we used to just do nothing. Now it's this big city and we like it, but it's also still home. We still have land everywhere. We still, you know, I always say I love the smell of fresh cut grass. Well, that, like I remember doing that as a kid and mowing my lawn, but I just did, you know, and then I went to live in California for some time and it just wasn't, I don't know, just wasn't there. I smell smog most of the time, you know.
I mean, speaking of grass, I mean, my yard has artificial grass and, well, I'm renting it right now in San Diego. It has artificial grass in the backyard. So, you know, I never smell fresh cut grass.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the small things, right? Like I mentioned before, it's the small things.
So. Like even the air. I remember when I used to visit Arkansas, when I was living in California, I used to come visit, right? I'd get off the plane or step out of the X&A and I'd just be like, oh, that just smells like home. Like it just something. And you know, Yesenia was talking about the water.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the water's good. The air's good.
Yeah.
the town is good.
Yeah, it's a good overall.
Yeah, I like it here. I like how we also get the four seasons.
Yeah, four seasons in a day.
I don't really like spring that much because I do can't really be outside. I get really bad allergies, right?
You got to wear a mask.
Yeah, I have to do something, right? But the fact that we get four seasons, we get to enjoy different...
The variety.
Yeah, exactly. Variety. That's a great point. The variety is different and it's there.
Furman, tell us one of your, you know, one of this, your favorite local spots in this area. You know, if it's a brewery, if it's a coffee shop, a restaurant that you and Maria go to, or a brunch spot, you know, what would you say is one of your spots? Like when you think of home, you're like, man, this is where I'm going. I have to go.
Honestly, that's just unclear to me. And the reason I say that is because there's always a new spot that I come to every single time I come home.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes that trumps the other spot that I like, so on and so forth. So at this point, I kind of just go with the flow, see where life takes me when I'm home, and go from there. You know, if somebody recommends to go to a spot, I'll go check it out. I'm a huge coffee drinker, so I'll go to any coffee spot and go hang out. Right. If y'all know any coffee spots, by all means, I'm all about that.
What's the newest one?
That's the newest coffee shop in the area?
There's a coffee spot in Bentonville. I forgot what it's called, but you know, it's like a mile walk to there.
Oh yeah, the Airship.
Airship. I love that Airship. That's a cool spot.
Yeah, that is a really, really cool spot.
Yeah, I remember one day me, my fiance, and my suegra, right? We were just going on a walk. And I think we kind of forgot that was there, or we didn't know it was there. And we were just walking. We're like, oh, this is here now. Let's go ahead and stop and get coffee. And I remember my fiance and her mom were on the swing. They were talking and laughing, drinking coffee. I was just there in the background, you know. But watching them have that moment was very beautiful to me, you know, the fact that we have that access.
Yep.
So that place is cool. I really like it there.
So for the audience, there's a coffee spot called Airship Coffee. They have different locations. But this specific location is on a greenway. It's a paved trail. And the only way to get to it is actually by walking or biking, right? You can't drive your car there. You have to park in a spot and then get off and go walk. And I think it is about a mile or so to get there. Coffee, shakes, they actually do food. They actually do beer there as well. And this is just like, you know, quick to-go food or a quick bite. Type of food, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know their hours or things like that, but you can look it up. It's Airship Coffee, and I think it's called the location's Kohler, I think is what it was. I could be wrong, but it's the only one that probably doesn't have a specific, you know, street address, right? Well, Furman, you know, as we're wrapping up this podcast, you may or may not know our previous guest. There's a tradition that we do. Our previous guest always leave a question for our next guest. And then as well, you as a guest leave a question for the next guest after you. So our previous guest was John Rex Spivey. And his question for you was, what are things in Northwest Arkansas that we do really well that can be built upon? And I'll give you a little bit of time to think about that. Or if there's something, what can we do to make the community better? You know, kind of just reshaping the question. So I'll give you a little bit of time.
Yeah. So, first off, thanks, John Rex. Tough question. I'll keep it simple. Right. And something that I mentioned already is that Southern hospitality, right. Just continue to help each other. Because when we work as a team, we're going to go farther and further, right? So as long as we do that, nothing is going to stop us, right? This community from when I arrived in 94, 95 to now, it's grown so much, but it's because of somebody's vision that somebody bought into, right? And and then others bought into it. And then look where we're at now, right? So just imagine what we're going to look like 10 plus years from now, and then 10 plus years from then, right? So I think as long as you continue helping each other out and believing one another, giving each other the confidence and going from there, I mean, like nothing is going to stop Northwest Arkansas from going at that point.
I love it.
I love it.
I love it. That's so true.
Yeah.
Well, Furman, again,
Well, actually, well, now, sorry to
no, you're good.
You're right. I was saying the question for the next guest.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We're, yeah, we're
we almost forgot.
We're about to exit. And what is the question that you have for our next guest? And I don't actually know who it is, but
yeah. No worries. So I mentioned it before, right? Was, and it's very simple, but tough to ask. Are you doing enough?
Man, there you go.
Are you doing enough?
I like it.
Dang.
Do you think you're doing enough?
Do you think? Oh, so you, when you go, when you put your head down on the pillow, did you think you gave it all today?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a great question.
I love it.
Actually, I do know who I think the next guest is.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. So. Okay. Very cool.
That is gonna be
awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, sorry, I almost forgot to
That's my bad. I kind of gave you the cue, so that's on me. But
no, all good, man.
Firm and man, you know, we are just so happy to have you here. And I'm really glad you got to stop by just to even to say hello, but let alone do the podcast. So thank you for your time. Thank you for your service. You know, there's countless people serving in the military, and always we want to thank them. By far, man, you're my favorite Marine, you know, 100%, dude. For me and Maritza, it's Furman.
Yeah.
John is our favorite Navy veteran. Yeah, you know what I mean? So for sure.
There you go.
But yeah.
Furman, again, like Juan Carlos says, thank you for your time and thank you for your service to us. You know, without your service members, I don't think our country would be where it's at. So we truly do appreciate the sacrifices you guys make for us. So again, thank you. We do appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you all for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, folks, you know, when we're not recording the podcast, you know, we're out here helping our clients with any real estate needs that they may have. So don't be shy. Send us a message. Hit us up on Instagram, Facebook. Hit us up on our phone numbers. My phone number is all over my social media, so not going to be hard to find. Make sure to follow us on social media. You know, our Instagram is SoNWA Podcast. And again, thank you guys for listening, and we hope to catch you in the next one. Thanks.
All right, everyone. Take care.